All right. Welcome to the Ladies Meeting Podcast. I am here with Elaine Hansen, who is going to be our speaker this month at the Ladies Meeting on June 25th. We meet at the Sylvia Hotel once a month on the last Tuesday of the month, except for December, because that would be crazy. We do a party instead. We do a fundraiser and party, and Elaine was there last time. It was a lot of fun. We call it the Swap and Soiree, where we actually swap a whole bunch of clothes and do some music. And I would like to welcome Elaine. She's going to speak on The Body Never Lies. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Elaine?
Well, let me see. I was born in Vancouver, and I went to UBC. And upon graduation, my first job took me to Winnipeg. And I landed up staying following Winnipeg. I moved to Saskatchewan. And I'm proudest to say that I survived 40 prairie winters. So I know winter. So I spent 40 years there and I raised three kids and lived in a small town of 2,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
I live in Whistler and I think 10,000 is small. So
yeah, no, it was a huge culture shock to me. Believe me, that was one of the biggest shocks of my life, is moving to a small town. And being an artist, being a dance and theater artist. And I think that one of the things I'm most proud of is over those 40 years living in that small town, I still kept my art form alive. Mm-hmm. And I still managed to have a career in the middle of the prairies, believe it or not. And it was a really good career and I'm very proud of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I left in 2013, my marriage fell apart, and I came back to Vancouver, and so I've been here ever since. And I'm a lifelong learner, and so I went back to school in 2014, and I certified as a craniosacral therapist, and And so I started a business as a holistic practitioner, as a senior citizen. So there, that's me.
One of my favorite stories is when I was pregnant with Hannah, who just turned 25 this last month, my chiropractor was in her 60s, and she had just finished her certification. And her family had told her she was wasting her time and she shouldn't do it. And she went on to build a beautiful business with not just herself, but hire other people into, which is now the, you know, art active release technique, which was still very new at the time. So sometimes bringing your experience into that business can really help even a lot of people that are younger than you, because they may have the training, but they don't have the life experience to know where, you know, where something can go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm really proud of the fact that I'm very, very healthy. And I intend to do this work till I'm 90 plus. I mean, really, why not?
Well, I hope we're still hanging out. I still very vividly remember our first conversation, which I think was over an hour long on the phone. I was standing out in a hallway and it was just, we just kept talking and it was amazing to hear your story. And I really appreciate that you joined us at the ladies meeting and that you're going to start to share some of that knowledge back to these people. It'll be amazing. So on the Ladies Meeting Podcast, I always ask the same questions, but they never have the same answers, which is what makes them beautiful. So what are the three important things we should know about you?
Well, I already mentioned the fact that I'm a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. And I first graduated from UBC at the age of 22. And then at age 42, when my kids were still young, I went back to university and got a second degree. And then, as I say, when I was 64, I went back and certified as a cranial sacral therapist. And then just less than a year ago, I became a Nikan consultant. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother learning, because I'd never been involved in direct sales. Yeah.
I remember that day very clearly of you and Maggie sitting at the Sylvia.
That's true.
Maggie was very excited to have you on board with her afterwards too. Mm-hmm. She's one of my dearest, dearest friends. Mm-hmm. And number three, I'm just going to ask you to tell us one thing about what you like to do in your spare time, because I think it's a very important part of what you do. who you are.
In my spare time, I love to do yoga. My body doesn't dance anymore, but I love moving, and I just like the combination of moving. It's, to me, yoga is like a moving meditation. There's stillness and there's movement together, and it just brings me into present time in a very deep, profound way. And I love walking. I love leaning against trees.
Because I like them so much, I decided to move in with them.
I love trees. No, they have fabulous energy. And when I need an energy fix or when my nervous system is really triggered, I'll go to my local park, which is about 5 blocks away, and I'll just lean against a tree and feel deep into the roots, and then just feel how you're connected between heaven and earth, and my whole nervous system just goes, whoa. It's a very different energy. Anyway.
Well, no, I think it's really important thing that when people feel disconnected. So one of the things about this house that I live in is that the floors are stone, not a mix of any, they're actual stone, and the trees. And I had this amazing experience when I was doing a meditation class. It was just an online meditation class, but she promised that even though it was online, we would all get connected. And she said, just pretend you're, you know, your feet are into the ground. And I actually did what you just said. I leaned up against these trees, which they may not have roots in the ground right now, but the memory of them still felt like those roots were still in the memory of the wood. And I had this amazing experience. I can't even, I don't know, there's something magic about trees. If you hear other stories with other people too, Chirito and I talk about trees often, and there's something magic.
Well, you know, the Japanese, who are very urban and they're very nature deficient, they will spend thousands of dollars going forest bathing, they call it, because they understand the power and the healing capacity of nature and trees. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, that's why I love Whistler, is that, and I use the word forest bathing often. I can't remember the actual name for the Japanese name for it right now, but all around the village, we have the Valley Trail. Like when I go to the coffee shop, I walk through this beautiful spruce grove, and you just smell it and you take it in, and the energy is so amazing and healing.
Yeah.
And you also like to garden, is what I was actually fishing for.
Oh yes. You know, I am crazy about gardening, and I love nothing better than just digging in the dirt. And I did that for a full month. I just returned a week ago from my property in Saskatchewan. And I had so much dirt in my nails. No matter what I did, you know, use the scrub brush. I have to go for a manicure. And because it's the only way I can just get that dirt out.
I didn't get this until I really did a lot of gardening myself. My dad, at the end of his day, because he was a farmer. He would sit with his pocket knife, which he'd owned he'd owned since he was 12 or 17 years old. He's now 82 and he still keeps it in his pocket. He would sit there and he would scrape under his nails with that knife every night. That was the only thing that was going to get that dirt out, was, you know. Cool. So what is work and what is play for you, Elaine?
You know, that's a really hard line for me to define, because I feel really blessed in that the work that I do is brings me so much joy and so much pleasure. That when I, as a therapist, am touching somebody and listening in to what's going on in their body, I can't think of a better way of spending my time. I just feel it's very humbling and it's very moving for me to do that. So what is play? Play for me is walking in nature and having a nice glass of wine, I guess. Yeah.
Excellent. Yep, we're on the same page for sure. I've actually ventured into a little bit of whiskey and stuff once in a while too, because we have so many new types of breweries and stuff. It's kind of the new wine, I think. There's such craft to it. Cool. If there's something is there something that you want others to help you achieve or to support you to do?
I am looking for people who will help me spread what I call the gospel of cranial sacral therapy, because it's not a really well-known modality. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been around that long. It comes out of osteopathy. Those are its roots. But nevertheless, it's not mainstream like, say, acupuncture or massage or chiropractic. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of an unknown. And on top of that, it's not currently covered by medical insurance, by extended care programs. So it's a hard sell, but it really, truly is a profound modality. It's quite often the last modality that people turn to in desperation because they've tried everything, everything that's traditional, or, well, you know, part of the allopathic system, as well as they've tried alternative systems, and finally in desperation, someone says, try cranial sacral therapy, and quite often it works. So I just would like people to really open their minds and really take a risk and come and see me or even other, you know, cranial sacral therapists and see what it does for them. It's subtle work, but it can be very, very deep work.
Mm-hmm. I have someone up here who's done it on me, and you know, you go in not knowing how subtle it's going to be, and the effects are just, they're so gentle and fluid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, especially when you've got a concussion. Sometimes it's just your whole head and your face and everything just hurts. I've had a concussion for 3 years and I'm still healing, but she can go in there and she's just like, oh, you know what, the blood flow on the left side of your neck and your brain, not quite. I'm like, how do you know that my blood flow on that side? That's such a subtle thing. And then she'll go in and just do these gentle little things. She's like, yeah, it's evened out now. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's evened out now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I've had really good success with people with concussions, but it's not a panacea. It's like not a one-shot thing. It's a process. No. So you're going to need a series, a number of treatments, you know, according to the severity of something like a concussion. And over time, the work is, I always like to use the analogy of an onion, and it's peeling the layers of an onion. At first, you start and you peel away the outer layers, and then with successive treatments, you know, you get to a subtler and deeper and more profound place. So, you know, if people allow, they can go, you can go to work that's done when you were in utero or even before. It's quite amazing.
I came out butt first, so my mom's still complaining about me coming out of there.
Oh dear, your poor mom.
If you could pick one book that you think everyone should read or have, what would it be?
Am I allowed to say two books, or do I have to be confined to one book?
I don't confine anybody here. I don't write the rules. I just set down the
outline. Okay. So we were talking about trees. Mm-hmm. And there's a book called, I've got it in front of me, I'm looking down. It's called The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wohlleben. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the intelligence of trees and how they're this communication system, and they care for one another, and mothers care for their children and the community, they care for one another. And when you read it, it really changes your perception, because we human beings and our arrogance, you know, we think we're the most intelligent species on the planet, but you realize how much intelligence there is in nature. And when you learn about trees and the way they work collaboratively to support each other and the communities and the young, and when their grandparents are ready to die, they allow themselves to die so that young ones can come up. It's amazing. So I highly recommend that.
On that note, have you ever seen the movie Lucy?
No.
It's on Netflix. And it's just one scene in particular where she sees the energy. She ends up being able to use larger and larger percents of her brain because of the whole story, whatever. So, I mean, she ends up at 100%. We say, well, how much of our brain do we normally use now? Like 5% or something crazy. And so she's given a drug that she ends up being able to use more and more of her brain. So she starts feeling and understanding the energy of the trees. And there's just this one scene where she's watching this tree live, the heartbeat, the blood, the sap, and where it goes, and it's just this, it's one of those, you know, we all watch a lot of movies and stuff, and it's one of those ones that just really in my face still. I barely ever watch Netflix anymore. I was at my daughter's a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I could watch any movie on Netflix, and I picked the one movie that I've seen before, and I didn't know I'd seen it before, and it's still, that scene is still resonating with me, how she basically lets herself go and becomes one with the universe and lets herself become these little pieces.
Yes, yes.
And part of everything. It's just so beautiful, which is what it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Letting yourself go and become one with everything.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so the second book that I come back to over and over again, I've had for quite some time, it's by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Dyer.
And it's called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
Yeah.
And the subtitle is Living the Wisdom of the Tao. And it's, I never know if you say it's Tao or Dao, but anyway. It's just his commentary. I think there's 86 verses or something. Mm-hmm. And he writes a couple of pages on each verse. And it's really timeless wisdom. And even though it's thousands of years old, it really teaches you about, you know, what's essential and what's really, really important. And you don't sit down on, it's something you savor and you read maybe one or two verses at a time, because you have to really let it settle and resonate with you. And I can read it over and over again. I'm feeling unsettled or I can't sleep at night, I'll just go and I'll open it. And it always seems to open to exactly what I need to read.
Isn't that magic?
Yeah.
A lot of his books are like that, because, and if, have you ever listened to him on audio or watched his PBS? My parents used to have him on every night. I used to listen to hours and hours of him talk. And then I would listen to his audios and just listen to his process of how he's like, I lit a candle and I sat and I put the page that I wanted to focus on. And then I wrote about it. And there's just something in his voice. You can tell he's all into exactly being in that moment with that, whether it was the Tao or something else that he was studying, because he studied a lot of different sages and seers and things like that. And just his whole process of doing that is knowing what went into the book. There's some magic between just leave it, knowing that that's exactly the right page that you need to be on.
Mm-hmm.
How it happens, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So when I read that, I realize, you know, there's very little to be anxious about. That the universe will always take care, you know, of me. And and I worry, I can't speak for other people, but sometimes I worry needlessly, that you just sit back and have faith that everything will work out. And it does. It always does.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. Maggie recommended a book to me. I even sent her a note today. I'm like, this page, thank you. So I've been reading it just two or three, The Untethered Soul. And it's about just, you know, learning to let go and just trust in what goes on. And then the breakdown between the psyche and the, what's the two words I'm looking for? Psyche, the psyche and the soul, I guess, you know, like who we are, what we do, what was constructed versus, you know, it's going to go, things are going to go on and things will keep happening. We don't need to worry.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing to do with friends?
Go to something like a farmer's market. Pick out some really beautiful fresh produce. And just go back, come back to a kitchen, put on an apron, pour a nice glass of wine, and just start to cook.
Cool. I hope you'll come for supper club.
And just start to cook, and, you know, not necessarily cook with a recipe. I really love cooking just intuitively, saying, oh, a little bit of this or this herb or, you know, whatever's available. Let's just put them together and try this. And just to be creative, and then just to sit down and enjoy it with some good conversation. To me, that's just a fabulous way of spending time.
Well, and I love the market because you just get this good vibe. What's your favorite thing to cook?
You know, I'm not bragging, but I have a huge repertoire. I mean, I cook, I bake, I've been baking bread for years, and everything from really basic bread to some fancy breads and braids and stuffed braids or baking. I cook Chinese. I love making soups and salads. I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite.
That's okay. What is a product that you are rarely without?
My Niken water.
I have a few friends like that.
not only because I'm a consultant, because I can feel the results and I know how important water is, because, you know, we're 70-75% water, and I've seen the difference that this water makes. So I have a waterfall, it's called a Pi Mag waterfall. I have one in Saskatchewan, and I have one here in Vancouver, and I always have my sports bottle with me wherever I go. And so I guess that would be my answer.
Excellent. Very good answer. We can put a link to one of those in the blog post that you're going to put up on theladiesmeeting.com.
Sure.
I agree. I think those are amazing. What do you hope that you can keep doing 10 to 20 years from now?
One of my goals is to still be able to stand on my head at the age of 95. There's a gentleman in my yoga class. I don't see him anymore, but he was 95 and he was still standing on his head. And I said, you know what? That's me. I'm going to do that.
Well, at 48, or 47, because last year I just took up doing handstands and cartwheels in the last 2 weeks, actually. So I'm with you, sister. It is so satisfying to be able to do a handstand. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. And last but not least question, what is a life hack that you have for everyone?
Say that again. Could you
a life hack, a cheat, something that makes life easier.
What makes life easier?
We call them a life hack, you know.
What makes life easier?
Yeah.
You know, I think it harks back to the title of my topic, in that your body never lies and your body has a lot of wisdom, and we are very, very powerful individuals. And I think we've been conditioned to look outside of ourselves for the answers. And quite often, most often, if there's something you're really not sure about, just stop and drop inside. You know, just go into stillness and ask a question. And more often than not, the perfect answer for you will arrive. You know, because your body knows. I don't know if you want to call it your body or your soul or your dream body, whatever you want to call it, your energetic body. Your system knows what is best for you. So, you know, you don't needlessly have to go into anxiety or run around in circles or ask others, because truly you have the answer inside you. I don't know. Is that?
Absolutely. And I think that goes together with Paige, who was our speaker last month at the ladies meeting, and she spoke about listening to that voice that's speaking to you. So often we shut it out. We don't listen, and we don't listen to our own intuition, which is our inner body telling us what we need to do. And we just like, oh, you know, because we've got so much going on, we don't take time to get really quiet and listen. So that's a beautiful way to end this. This is amazing. So I'm looking forward to hearing you speak at the ladies' meeting. If you want to find tickets to come and see Elaine, you can go to ladiesmeeting.com, and we have an events page there, so you can find whatever our latest events is, and that's on the last Tuesday, or you can find us on the Coffee House Network. If you can't make it, we've got a way for you to tag in and get to know some of our members. On Friday mornings, we do a coffee meeting, and we'll have some links there back to what's going on at lunch. And you can watch Elaine's podcast as well as others that are members. We interview anyone that is speaking, and we have many members that have been interviewed. So it's a great way for have a warm phone call with someone is to go listen to their podcast and find out a little bit more about them. So I really encourage everyone to do that, and also check out Elaine's social media and support her business too. So I'm going to end our recording here, and I'm looking forward to seeing Elaine on the last Tuesday of the month, June 25th, at the Sylvia Hotel.